Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Happy Sunday, everyone. This is the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm Emily Elena Dugdale, criminal justice reporter for KPCC and LAist.com. On Monday night, the Pomona City Council voted to resume using local police in its schools. It's a reversal from just a few months ago when the school board decided to stop paying for school police. I talked about it this week with KPCC's Nick Roman.
The Pomona City Council voted late last night to bring the local police back to Pomona Unified Schools. It's a reversal from just a few months ago when the school board decided to stop paying for police on campuses. KPCC's Emily Elena Dugdale has been covering this, and she joins us now. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Nick.
So, Emily, the school district first voted to remove school police, and now it's bringing them back. So what's going on?
Correct. So back in June, the Pomona Unified School District did not include funding for school resource officers in its annual budget. That was after a lot of pressure from activists who wanted police out of schools. They pointed to research that shows having police on campus leads to more student arrests, particularly of students of color. But school district superintendent Richard Martinez said last night that the school board had always been open to revisiting the issue.
The terminology defund never came out of my mouth.
The district said it was focused on returning to in-person learning, and it's been a rough start. School officials say there's been unrest in schools, and that's led to a lot of calls to the police, 313 since the beginning of August, according to the police department. Then a few weeks ago, there was a shooting outside Pomona High School that injured a 12-year-old and prompted an outcry from parents. So the school board voted in late October on a new contract with the Pomona Police Department, and the city council approved it last night on a 5-1 vote.
All right, so the contract has been approved. What is in that new contract, Emily?
Yeah, so the contract will cover two officers at an annual cost to the district of nearly $200,000 per officer. And they'll receive training on topics like implicit bias, restorative justice, and trauma-informed practices. And the city will be required to provide quarterly data to the school district on the officers' activity. I talked to Pomona Police Chief Michael Ellis this morning. He said the officers will also wear a soft uniform, like a polo shirt. And unlike some school districts, he said they won't be stationed at schools.
Their job is not to roam the halls and police the halls. I know a lot of folks are concerned with that. That's not what they do.
That's Pomona Police Chief Michael Ellis. And Emily, how do people in Pomona feel about this?
So the community seems pretty sharply divided between people who think police make schools safer and people who feel unsafe with police on campuses. I talked to a parent named Long last week as he was picking up his kids from Pomona High School. He didn't want to give his last name. He was totally in support of the police.
You know, for the kids' safety and stuff like that, you know what I mean? We are in the neighborhood. I'm all for it.
And I spoke to a couple of students who were close enough to hear the shooting a few weeks ago. They're Chris, who didn't want to give her last name, and her friend Jasmine Diaz. They said they want police around even if they don't solve everything. The first one we hear on this tape is Chris.
It's nice to have some extra bodies around just to, like, separate things, but it's, I mean,
to keep things more under control.
If things are going to happen, people are going to find a way to make them happen if they, like, really want to, you know what I mean?
So last night, many students called into the city council meeting and said police at school don't make them feel safe. Here's a former student named Christopher Heredia.
I needed a psychologist to talk to about the severe bullying that I was enduring. Instead, what I got was handcuffs.
And I want to point out that I've covered this topic pretty intensely over the past year. Our investigation with ProPublica found that sheriff's deputies posted to schools in Lancaster disproportionately stopped and cited Black teens. In Pomona, the push to get police out of the schools has been led by a local nonprofit there called Gente Organizada. Arlene Alonso is the group's director of youth organizing, and she argues people haven't been given enough choices on this issue. She compared it to only being given one flavor of ice cream.
You keep having one ice cream flavor. Oh, what ice cream flavor do you want? They're going to choose that one ice cream flavor because nothing else has been introduced. No other form of safety has been introduced into the community.
It's a really polarizing issue, and we'll see how the new contract plays out.
All right. Thanks so much, Emily.
Thanks, Nick.
KPCC criminal justice reporter Emily Elena Dugdale on the decision by the Pomona City Council last night to put the Pomona Police back into schools in the city.
And finally, as redistricting wraps up in the city of Los Angeles, there are still some parts of the draft map that are causing tension, like which council district or districts should have South LA's big landmarks like USC and Exposition Park. Our community engagement reporter, Carla Javier, looked into it.
Estuardo Mazariegos is pushing his baby in a stroller through Exposition Park. He particularly likes this fountain in the Rose Garden.
So this is usually a really cool little spot we hang out in because she likes the water and it's like meditative almost.
This is in Council District 9 and has been for the past 10 years since the map was last redrawn. And he and his neighborhood council wanted to stay here for the next decade.
When they have concerts here in Expo Park, you could hear it 10 blocks down. They'll park in my street, so it only makes sense to have like a say over how the resources that are being brought into the neighborhood are also used.
But his neighborhood isn't the only one impacted by what goes on here.
I am Thyris Mason. I am a long-term resident of Council District 8.
That's the council district next door, which used to have USC and Exposition Park before. Mason heads up her own neighborhood council, and she thinks the right thing to do is to bring them back.
Restore these properties to CD8 because that's where they were 10 years ago.
Both CD8 and CD9 say they need to have these assets as part of their district. On the one hand, the 9th is LA's poorest district by median income. On the other hand, the 8th also struggles economically and is the only district in LA where a majority of the voting age population is Black. This would be less of an issue if there were more resources like these to go around in South LA as a whole. But as Mazariegos puts it, there aren't.
Our neighborhood south of the 10th is definitely the most underrepresented, overlooked, and underinvested community in this region.
And the few resources there are concentrated here. Like that fountain where Mazariegos takes his daughter. That's one of Mason's favorite spots in the park, too. There's also the Coliseum, the Bank of California Stadium, the future Lucas Narrative Museum of Art, and the jobs, development, and displacement that can come with all of that. Take the shiny new USC Village, for example. It has South LA's only Trader Joe's, a bunch of restaurants, shops, student housing. To build it, the university needed approvals and support, so they made a bunch of promises to the community. Millions for affordable housing in the area, a meeting room for community organizations, jobs for local workers, and a grocery store that sells fresh produce, hence the Trader Joe's. That's why everyone's been calling these landmarks economic assets, because when there are new projects, this council member and community get a seat at the table to try to negotiate a good deal that works for them. Though, as Matt Barreto of the UCLA Voting Rights Project points out,
it's not as though there's some sort of wall and jobs are not going to go on the other side of that.
The perks are often shared, like anyone could go to the Trader Joe's. And it's not just about money. Barreto says it's also political. If you're on the council, it looks good to have a landmark in your district, and symbolic.
The symbolism and pride of saying, this landmark is in my region, it's a part of our district, it's a part of our community.
Mason says not getting the landmarks back, that sends a message too.
This says to me that the council district with the highest population of African Americans in this city doesn't get anything.
There's no set formula for how to deal with this. Redistricting is about dividing up population fairly. There's less emphasis on stuff. But that stuff is clearly important to people, especially people who feel like their communities have been overlooked because of who they are or how much money they have. While Mazariegos believes his district, CD9, should have these landmarks, he struggles with seeing folks divided over this.
How do we make it so that we're not fighting for scraps, that we're fighting to essentially create the city in our image, Black and brown folks together, you know, working people together, poor folks together.
Over the past few weeks, the maps have changed again and again. The Redistricting Commission decided to give both USC and Expo to CD8, then the next day voted to split them up, one in each district. Now it's up to the city council, and they're likely to keep both in CD9. Mason is not giving up just yet, though.
We're going to continue to apply pressure to do the right thing by Black Angelenos in South Los Angeles.
But the clock is ticking. The city council is holding one more public hearing on Tuesday before voting on a final map in the beginning of December. I'm Carla Javier.
Thanks for listening to this weekend edition of the LA Report. Suzanne Whatley and Nick Roman are back on Monday with the AM and PM weekday editions. Until then, be safe and have a great weekend. I'm Emily Elena Dugdale.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.